Hi again, this is Trev here with part two of my Trev's Tales about my experiences playing in rock and pop groups in the late 50s and early 60s. Last time I recalled some of my life in Liverpool before I joined Pete Best's group to go to the USA to do some recording. Of course, Liverpool was a big change for me because I came from a much smaller town, Stoke-on-Trent, about 50 miles away from Liverpool. So being in the far bigger city of Liverpool was quite an experience for me. And of course, the natives of Liverpool, who always known as Scousers, were quite remarkable people. For example, many of the musicians in the groups and bands in Liverpool at the time, in the daytime, might congregate in a coffee bar in the centre of Liverpool called the Cardoma. Whilst there, it was quite likely that some guy would come up to you and say, "Hey mate, do you want some kecks?" That's what they call trousers there. "Or you want a shirt or a jacket?" "Yeah, what do you mean?" And they would say, "What size are you?" And you would tell them. They would go over the road to the big department store there, lift a pair of trousers or whatever it was you wanted in your size and bring them over and sell them to you for half price. That was Liverpool in the 60s for you. We played in many of the clubs in Liverpool and the surrounding areas, and of course the most famous one was the Cavern. The Cavern was only quite small, and it would be packed out, absolutely packed. You could not move. If you wanted to light a cigarette, because you could smoke, of course, in those days anywhere, you couldn't light it with a match because the match would not strike because of the very humid and hot and wet atmosphere. Those were the days when the music was so loud and exciting that the crowds would go mad at almost any band that appeared there. Anyway, I was playing in those sort of areas for quite a few months when one morning, a Sunday morning, and a Sunday morning is a time when you don't wake up a musician, I can assure you of that. 10 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock on the door. I opened the door and there's two guys there. They turned out to be Tony and Wayne from Pete Best's band. I didn't know them at that time. And they said, "Ah, you're Trevor, aren't you? We've been watching you playing in the various clubs in Liverpool. We want you to join our band." "Okay, what band's that?" "Oh, Pete Best band." "Oh, well, I knew that. He was the guy who got sacked from the Beatles not all that long before then." I said, "Well, yeah, have you got gigs? What's it all about?" He said, "No, we've got no gigs, but we got a contract to go and record and play in the United States, in New York." So I didn't say no, did I? Unfortunately for me, at that time, one of the guys in my band that I was playing with at the time was listening, and of course he knew what happened. So that was the end of my time with that band, and no more gigs for me until we went to New York. So I started rehearsing with Pete's band in various places, including his mum's cellar in her big house, which had been a rock club called the Casbah, where the Beatles had been formed and rehearsed some years before. And we waited and waited for the tickets to arrive from New York. And it seemed as though every week they would arrive, but they never did. But after about 6 weeks, they did arrive, and we then knew when we were going. So I eventually left my little flat in Liverpool, returned to my parents' house, waited for the time, and then I got down to Heathrow Airport in London, and we took the flight to New York. At that time, I'd never been on a plane before. I'd never been to an airport. It was 1964, I think. I came from a very depressed area in Britain. So this was such an exciting opportunity for us. Of course, in those days, when we got on the plane, it wasn't like today. You took your ticket, you got your boarding pass and got on the plane. No security checks, none of that rubbish that we have to endure now. And we flew with them, British Airways, to New York. I think it was to JFK Airport. This was an amazing experience for me. And then I think a 20-year-old lad from the middle of England. Of course, we eventually arrived at the airport in New York, and we got through the security and customs and whatever, and found two guys waiting for us who were from the recording company that had contracted us to go over there, and they supplied us with transport, etc., and a van for our equipment and trailers, which had all come over with us. And for some reason, and I'll never work out what happened, I ended up driving a car by myself. This car was a huge Pontiac, I think it would have been called, an enormous V8 engine, I think 500 cubic inches. Well, I'd never been in a car that big. I'd never seen an automatic gearbox. I didn't know what I was doing. And I had to follow the other cars into central Manhattan. Of course, that's almost impossible. And somewhere in central Manhattan, the car broke down. I'd lost the others, and I just stood there on the pavement, thinking, where do I go now? Because I didn't know where I was going or anything. I didn't know what was up with the car. I didn't know what to do. Fortunately, after about an hour, the American guys came looking for me. They realised something had happened and found me. So after that great start in New York, we were finally settled. Their recording studio was either on 42nd or 52nd Street, and the apartment that they got for us was the other one, 42nd or 52nd. I can't remember which way round that was. But nevertheless, to walk to the recording studio on work days, we had to walk through Times Square, which for someone like me in those days was absolutely amazing. But there were a lot of adventures to come. So that's how we eventually got to New York with Pete Best.